So, you've become quite familiar to San Antonio audiences, with performances with the San Antonio Symphony and with the San Antonio International Piano Competition's recital series here at the Tuesday Musical Club. Maybe four times a visit to San Antonio over the past several years. But what do you, how do you make the audiences here, and what do you make of them in San Antonio?
I actually remember the first time I came to San Antonio, and I really enjoyed the city. I think I really fell in love with San Antonio on first sight, and it seems really that the love was mutual. First time I was here, I was actually performing with the symphony. It was still at the Majestic Theater. I believe it was 2000, maybe 12. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while ago, actually. And then it was very fortunate that the city and the gorgeous people of the city have always found a way to bring me back. I did came back then, perhaps a year and a half later, to perform a recital for the San Antonio Piano Competition. It was also throughout the friendliness and generosity of Deborah Moore, who is the owner of Steinway Piano Gallery, who's brought me there. Then I returned back to perform with the symphony perhaps 2 years ago. It was about this time of year in April. Now I'm back the fourth time for the Tuesday Musical Club. So it's an ongoing love story that I have with San Antonio.
Good. Your two CDs, I noticed, are, you go with Bach and Antonio Soler. Do you feel that, given those are the recordings you've made, at least, although you've played Liszt and César Franck on the recital today, do you feel that Baroque and early classical period is kind of a sweet spot for you? Is that maybe why you chose to record them, or how do you? What is your favorite part of the repertoire?
Well, the Soler sonatas were more in combination or in collaboration with a competition that I had won in Barcelona years ago. Soler is not from Barcelona directly, but he's Catalan. So they did this whole thing of supporting Catalan composers. And as I love music of Scarlatti, and I found that Padre Antonio Soler's music very much resembled that of Scarlatti, just with a few, perhaps even Spanish or even Oriental influences, Moorish, let's say. I really enjoyed his music. I do have a sweet or a soft spot for anything Bach, anything classical, but I also very, very much enjoy certain romantic music. I enjoy very much music of Schumann and Brahms and Liszt. I've played a fair share of the 20th century composers, including some works by Boulez and Berlioz. So I have a wide range of interest. I could say that there's perhaps only one composer that I'm actually rather avoidant. I just can't identify myself with his musical language, and that's Chopin.
Why is that?
It's just very, very difficult for me to identify with his personality and with his musical world. I just don't feel it. Mm-hmm. Personally, I feel it's a difficult composer to play. I just enjoy personally much more music by Schumann and Brahms, and there's no reason for me to give another sort of lukewarm performance of Chopin if I feel I can excel in something else. So just stay away from it.
The Haydn you played today really makes a case for him as a writer of music for keyboard, because I think a lot of people think of Haydn, oh, he pushed the string quartet forward, but there's a lot of great sonatas and solo keyboard music of Haydn, that it's exemplified by this Andante that was played today.
Absolutely. I'm in total agreement with you. Haydn was an all-around composer. I sometimes prefer his music to Mozart's music, although I appreciate Mozart's operas very much, and he was a brilliant keyboardist. I feel Haydn is still very much underplayed. I feel he was a very dedicated composer, very dedicated person. He was not, as glamorous and as traveling around as other composers of his age. He had one employer. He stayed there for 30 plus years. But also he was very fruitful in those years. And he was, also very forward in his thinking, which you can find in certain string quartets, in certain sonatas. And the Haydn variations in F minor that I performed, they are very forward in their way of thinking. They are in a way romantic or Beethovenian. They're anticipating many of the Sturm und Drang movement that's going to be happening later. So in a way, all the pieces I was performing on the program are in a way a little bit ahead of their time, and so are Disendant and Variations.
Two of the pieces you played on the program, you mentioned in the remarks, were adapted from organ for piano in this case. I'm curious, as a performer, when you're playing them at piano, what are you hearing in your head when you play these works that were originally for organ but on piano? Do you at all think about the sound of an organ while you're playing, or are you concentrating mainly on your instrument here?
Generally, the reason I like organ transcriptions, and perhaps also the reason why I'm not such a big fan of Chopin, and it just occurred to me, I'm generally a fan of polyphony. I enjoy polyphonic thinking, and I fell in love with piano, I fell in love with my own instrument once I discovered the orchestra, which seems a little anachronistic. But once I discovered colors and the polyphonic thinking that you can have on the piano, I literally fell in love with the instrument. When it comes to organ transcriptions, they're like the normal piano polyphony plus another voice or another two more voices, which makes it very, very much fun for me. I just enjoy hearing all the different lines and the counterpoints. When I play piano, I don't, just as in the same way as if I would play a harpsichord piece or a piece by Bach on piano, I would not try to imitate the harpsichord. The same way I don't really try to imitate the organ, although I do try to have the idea of those extra bass voices that an organ would have, or certainly adding volume to the whole thing. And when I play, generally I try not to think of the piano but of orchestra or of other sounds. I try to find a sound world that is not limited to one instrument, maybe.
The second half of the program seems to me there's a lot of storytelling in music there. You've got two pieces by Liszt that are, you know, telling stories of St. Francis, and you've got two operatic transcriptions that are, you know, opera is naturally, you know, a storytelling medium at the same time as well. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about storytelling in music and, you know, that concept.
Well, even when music is abstract, it's always telling a story. It's, you know, when Bach is composing a fugue, he is perhaps not telling a very obvious story, but he's telling the story of an intellect, story of a spirit, story that's very, you know, lofty and very spiritual. Liszt is already writing and composing in a day and age when storytelling becomes more metaphoric and more onomatopoeic. In a way, his two legends, St. Francis of Assisi talking to the birds and St. Paul walking on waves, they are also ahead of their time. He is anticipating works of Debussy and Ravel that are still to come. The way he is approaching the keyboard and different registers on the piano is extremely descriptive. And there is very Christian background, but also a huge love of nature and of sounds of nature, and a huge desire by Liszt of trying to imitate those and trying to make those last in his writing and on the keyboard. In the first piece, of course, he's using the upper register very much and trying to imitate the chirping of birds and this kind of very linear cantabile unison lines for the human voice when St. Francis of Assisi is talking. And then he's using octaves and arpeggios and tremolos trying to describe the waves of the ocean on which St. Paul is walking. And then that I wanted to combine with the two paraphrases on the march or on the Lucia di Lammermoor by the Donizetti brothers, because it's also, as you say, storytelling, but it's a different kind of descriptive storytelling. Opera is musical storytelling at its best, and it's perhaps one of the most exciting ways of seeing music when you have all these voices and orchestra and actual text and songs. You get so close to the music's real meaning. However, even there is space for interpretation, and even there is space for atmosphere, and even there is space for the sound to add to the general idea of the piece, and to get the listener nearer to what Liszt was attempting to describe in that day and age. For example, the paraphrase for the Sultan that had freed him from prison, like in the story that I have told. It's I'm trying to imagine a Liszt on this long journey to Istanbul. I'm trying to imagine him in prison. I'm trying to imagine this luscious palace of the Sultan that had freed him from the prison. And indeed, the paraphrase and the music that he's subsequently writing is completely over the top, because the whole situation is already over the top, and the music is absolutely over the top. He is exaggerating with literally everything. But it's also, of course, if you can play it, it's also fun, it's joyful, it's frivolous, and it's fun, and it's also telling us that, you know, music doesn't always have to be so serious.
Yeah, you can imagine this Sultan guy, or like him saying, I'm going to pull out all the stops for this guy, because he did it for me, you know?
The whole program, whatever I've got, I'm going to pull it out. And he does, he indeed does. And as I said, it does not have to be so dead serious all the time.
Yeah,
it's okay to have fun.
Well, lastly, I want to know kind of like what's a piece that you're aiming towards, that, you know, if you're, you know, on your dream list of, you know, like, I want to play this in concert someday. What is something that's, you know, always been in the back of your mind that you want to get under your fingers? Not Chopin, obviously, but but what would it be?
Oh, I've got a long list. I try to put a little bit of something on my repertoire each time I have a group of recitals, because I want to build repertoire still. But one of my dream pieces are the Diabella Variations by Beethoven. So that's something I still want to dedicate myself to, and it's very much on my list. I did not play nearly enough Bach, so I really want to get back to him. And if I can get my hands on Gaspard de la Nuit of Ravel, I will for sure do that.
Excellent. All right, Martina, thank you very much.
Lovely talking to you. Thanks.